It's great to come to what we're calling that time of year. Does it excite you? Some of you already said, how many sleeps left? Well, as Paul reminded you last week, we weren't here, you know, that time of year is a time for waiting. You know, you open your Advent calendar doors and you count down to the big day and you hope it will eventually arrive, don't you? Not everything arrives, does it? Those of you who can't see that, the dog is saying to the snowman, is he ever going to throw that stick or what? You know, not everything that you're waiting for gets delivered to you. But the Christ that we look to and we're waiting on will come. And he can come this morning. Because maybe actually, instead of you waiting on him, he's waiting on you. But you know, this morning we're going to go further on in that time of year and think about what I'm calling that time of year for worrying. I don't know if you read the recent poll this week, came out interestingly enough. Some of you may have seen it. 67% of the United Kingdom population see Christmas not as the most wonderful time of year, but as the most worrying time of the year. You know, how many of you would say amen to that? Don't say it. Okay? But it's true though, isn't it? Some people worry about Christmas. And some people worry even more as we get closer to Christmas. 67%. I've got no way of proving that or disproving it. But I know a lot of people do worry at this time of year. What's it going to cost me? How am I going to get it all done? What if the meal's a disaster? What if the guests don't all get on? Do you worry about those kind of things? Where are we going to sit, everybody? Are we going to have enough for all? You know, worry can be the dark room in which fear gets developed. You ever discovered that? And that itself becomes a real problem. It's why I heard about one man, and he paid another man £5,000 every month to do his worrying for him. And his wife pointed out to her husband, well, at that rate of pay, that guy's got nothing to worry about, has he? Now, I don't know if you're worried or not. My mum's hearing aid got broken and that worried her. She sent it off to be mended and hasn't heard anything since. Do you worry? Are you worried? Some of you are worried. How long is he going on for this morning? Well, that might not be your biggest worry. Everybody worries about something at Christmas, and maybe especially because it is Christmas. So many presents to pick. So few parking spots to find. And of course, numerous other family dynamics to navigate. But it can be more intensely worrying for us at Christmas than wonderful. Well, if that's you this morning, and I think to some degree it's all of us at one point as we head into this season, more worrying about something to do with Christmas and potentially missing the someone of Christmas, I just want to say to you this morning, you're in very good company. Because in this part of the Christmas story that we seldom get to, once we've taken the decorations down, and after we've been taken up with the angels and the shepherds and the magi, you know, we can lose Jesus along the way. And I find that intensely worrying. And yet, as Jesus' own mother and his earthly father, as we read in the passage today, ended up discovering for themselves, it is possible that right in the middle of a festival put on to celebrate him, you can find yourselves still missing him. That's the worry. And maybe I could put it like this, and I'll come back to it, because if you forget everything else, try not to forget this, because that would certainly worry me. In the middle of a festival to celebrate Jesus, we can find ourselves missing him. Isn't that true? You see, in their case, each year after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph, as was their custom, took Jesus with them up to the temple in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Now, we're heading towards Christmas, but what is Passover? Bottom line of Passover is a festival, is a feast that directly pointed to Jesus, the Passover lamb. And it was in the middle of this festival to celebrate him that Mary and Joseph lost him discovered that he was missing. We're not coming towards Passover, we're coming towards Christmas, but it's a time that ought to be directly centered upon him, and it's so often a time where he himself is missing. And in this year, when Jesus reached the age of 12, like many of us celebrating Christmas now, Mary and Joseph discovered that with all that is going on with a celebration, with all that there is to attend to in a celebration, and with all there is to revel in during a celebration, that without careful effort and deliberate thought, we can lose the Lord Jesus in the middle of it. And if we lose the Lord Jesus in the middle of it, we lose the joy and peace as a result of it. And I would say it's not only possible that we can do that at this time of year, I would say it's more than likely probable that we can do that. But at least they worried about it, didn't they? As soon as they realized that Jesus was missing, as they made their way back home to Nazareth, Mary said to Jesus when they eventually got back to Jerusalem and found him, "Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Translation, we were worried sick. I mean, don't you understand that? Which of us who's got a child and has lost that child doesn't know exactly how Mary and Joseph would have felt at that moment in time? It's what I call the Kevin moment. You ever seen the film Home Alone? You know, this poor, disheveled, distracted mum, defeated almost in a desperate attempt to round up her whole family at Christmas time and get them on the plane and out of the winter in New York and to the sun in Florida, eventually on the plane sits back, settles down, and suddenly it dawns on her. Kevin! She realizes one of her sons is missing. I mean, can you not feel that? Can you not feel it? I think it's a nightmare for any parent. And as somebody who's lost one of their children on a crowded beach, I know to some degree how they must have been feeling. Just imagine, though. You know, it's bad enough when you lose your own children. Imagine Mary and Joseph. They lost God's son. Hey, those devotions at night would have been fun, wouldn't they? What have you done? You know, but it should worry us, shouldn't it? It should worry us. Every true follower of Christ, if he is found missing from the very celebration that we put on to celebrate his coming. And that's why this time of year it can be worrying for us, when we instead, if we're honest, feel that we can be drawn more away from Christ at Christmas than more drawn to him, because of all the periphery that surrounds it. We won't miss Jesus physically, like Mary and Joseph physically missed Jesus on this occasion, but spiritually, we must not miss the application of what is going on here. And the first question, if we're not going to miss it, is simply this: how? How was Jesus found missing? Well, at one level, it's very clear, isn't it? Because the Bible lays it out for us. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Okay, that's the practical message here. They thought he was with them, but he wasn't with them. And it's not hard to understand how you can lose a child in this situation. You're at a festival that could have gone on for 7 days. You're now on a return journey from Jerusalem back to Nazareth of about 80 miles. You're not going by yourself. You're going with lots of friends and relative and family, because there was safety in numbers. It was a dangerous trip to take in those days. And mainly the men kept with the men and the women kept with the women. And there were a lot of other younger children, even for Mary and Joseph at this point, to keep their eye on. It's not hard to imagine why, physically and in terms of his natural presence, he might have been missing from them. But here's the question, in understanding that aspect of it: how did losing Jesus to the point which they admitted of being so anxious about finding him affect their own standing with him themselves? You see, in losing him, what were they lost to themselves? Do you understand that? Well, it wasn't their relationship to him. No, it was their fellowship with him. That's what they lost when they couldn't find Jesus. Not their relationship to him. Mary was still his mother, even when he was missing from her because they were miles apart. Joseph was still his earthly father, even though he'd not spoken to him for 3 days. The relationship they had was intact, but the fellowship that they would have wanted to enjoy was missing. Do you understand that? It's so important, isn't it, that we ourselves, even if we're in relationship with God, even if we're truly saved by God, that we can still find ourselves out of fellowship with him and living as though we don't know him at all. How? No twice-born child of God. And I need to encourage some of you with this again this morning. No twice-born child of God can lose their relationship when that relationship has been brought about through faith in Jesus Christ and sealed through the Holy Spirit himself. But every Christian, any Christian, can lose their fellowship with the Lord Jesus at times. And when you do that, you find that his joy is missing from your life. You find that his will is missing from the decisions that you're taking and making in your life. And you find that his heart is missing from your own heart of compassion. And so I say again what Jesus reminds us of when he talks to his followers. He says this to them, no one can snatch them. His disciples, no one can snatch them out of his hand. And maybe somebody is here this morning simply for the reason that in your eternal insecurity, if I can put it like that, you need to take to heart this morning that if you've put your hand in the hand of Jesus, if you've put your trust in the life-saving power of the Lord Jesus, and if you've repented of your sins and you've put your faith in the Savior, then there's nothing and there's no one that can snatch you from his hand or break your relationship with God. Isn't that encouraging? I don't find that worrying. I find that encouraging. I mean, you think about it. If the devil had the power, just think about this. You know, I was thinking about this week and it lifted my spirits. If the devil had the power to snatch you from the Lord's life-giving, soul-saving hold, don't you think he would? Don't you think if he could, he would, but he can't. And that's the only reason he hasn't. I mean, how incongruous would it be to get to heaven and give the devil some credit for the fact that we made it there? Wouldn't that be strange? Thank God in Jesus he came to save me, but thank the devil that he never was able to snatch me and chose not to snatch me from his hand. I mean, it's not going to happen, is it? That we are here today as followers of Christ to simply declare that through faith in him, we are eternally secure. The relationship is intact, but it's the fellowship that can so often be missing. That we can be at a distance from the Lord who stepped out of eternity, as we say, into time to come and put out the hand of friendship so we can be together forever in step and in tune with one another. Isn't that beautiful? The relationship that Mary and Joseph had with Jesus was never broken. Jesus was still their son. They just couldn't find him. They lost fellowship with him. And the same thing can happen to us if we're not careful about how we go living our Christian life and making the time to spend with the Lord and stay close to the Lord. Because the reality is that in the middle of a festival to celebrate him, we can, can't we? And this is the worrying thing. We can find that he himself is missing. The tree is up. The presents are wrapped. The guest room is ready. The television is on standby. But the Bible is closed. The prayer room is neglected. And the congregation is minus one. Well, the next thing to underline is not simply the how, but then, of course, we get to the who. Who lost fellowship with Jesus? Well, what does it say there in verse 41? Every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. Who lost fellowship with Jesus? The people closest to him at that time. His parents. Mary and Joseph. I simply say, if it could happen to them, it can happen to me. If it can happen to them, can it not happen to you? It can. And we don't want to miss the blessing of it, do we? They were missing him for 3 days. 3 days. I wouldn't want to miss the Lord's presence, would you, for 3 minutes? And yet some of us here this morning, we've not been close with the Lord, not for 3 days, maybe 3 months or 3 years or 30 years. Well, that doesn't interest me. I'm not here to judge anyone. I know my own heart. I'm just here to say that if you're missing it, hold on a little bit, because it's there to be found again. And that takes the worry out of Christmas when you walk through it with the Christ who came to celebrate it with us. It is a wonderful thing, isn't it? You know, if you've got salvation in Christ, yes, you can be out of fellowship with Christ, because if you never had it in the first place, you can't lose it. It's true, isn't it? Do you know why I can't lose £1 million? Because I haven't got £1 million. Do you know why I don't play the drums? I've never had the ability to play the drums. You know, if you haven't got it in the first place, you can't lose it. But if you're here following Christ and you remember that time when you were baptized, you remember that time when you put your trust in Jesus, you can't lose your salvation. But don't spoil your life for lack of his fellowship. That would be a terrible thing. And if it could happen to them, it could happen to you. I find it worrying at times. You know, the offer that we're given in the coming of Christ into this world to be our Savior, you know, is so easily dismissed. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he gets so easily dismissed and casually cast aside. I hope you know him this morning. You need to discover that you'll find your life only when you've been found by him. And the reason he came at Christmas was to find you. He's not the one that's lost. I am. You are. And he's there to be found. Yet there's not one of us who is not lost to God with Jesus missing. But if we've been found by him and we've been found in him and for him, oh, please, Lord, don't let me lose the joy. Don't let me lose the life. Don't let me lose the heart of what following you is about. Because if I lose it, other people are going to look at me and think there's not much to find in the first place. Be terrible, wouldn't it? I'd hate for somebody to knock on heaven's door and say, do you know the reason I can't come in is because I live next door to Sean? Wouldn't that be awful? Especially at a time of year when we're hearing more and more about Jesus, we're singing more and more of Jesus, and we're probably even giving more and more to Jesus. And yet we're still out of fellowship with him. And if it can happen to them, I know it can happen to me. So there's the who. But what about the where? You know, where might we lose our fellowship with Jesus? You know, where might that take place? In a bar? Heavy drinking? At our computer? Online surfing? On a trip with no one watching? With a gamble in the hope of winning? Well, we can lose him if we choose to sin against him, of course, but that is not where Mary and Joseph lost Jesus, is it? They lost him in the temple, built to honour him, alongside the very teachers trusted to know the most about him. So we're told after 3 days they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. I bet they loved that. I bet they loved those questions, didn't they? Hey? And what does that tell us? It just simply tells us this, that we can lose our fellowship with Jesus in a church, among other Christians, singing praise songs and listening to a message from his word. That we can be as distant in this church service as we can be from God in a bar getting drunk. Because the prodigal son has not got to go to a foreign land to be away from his father. The prodigal son can be away from their father in their mindset, in their attitude, and in their heart. Amen? I've been there, haven't you? But there is a way back. We need to apply what God is teaching us and go out and live it. James says, don't just hear God's word, go out and do it. I love what David says in Psalm 5 and verse 3. In the morning, he says, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. I love that. The word that's used for lay there means simply to set something in order. Pretty much as you might lay a table or as you might lay a trap. It was a word that was used of a king in organizing his soldiers for battle. It wasn't haphazard. It was planned, it was organized, and it was intentional. It's a word used for a priest when they arranged the sacrifice on the altar in Old Testament times. Nothing haphazard about it. Something beautifully planned by God for it. And it was a word used of a host to set a meal before the guests. In other words, David is telling us to keep in good fellowship with God. You've got to plan your day, you've got to plan your time, you've got to get intentional about it. And for him, at least, it began with the morning in prayer. Now, I can be honest with myself, and we need a measure of honesty here. We can be the most organized people in the world when it comes to watching Strictly, or having our hair done, or our teeth looked at, or even enjoying a good night out with friends. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I ask the question, what have we got planned with God? To maintain the fellowship that he wants to bless us with. How are we going to make sure we keep in good fellowship with him, even at Christmas, when we worry we have too many other things to do that we cannot fit him in? Now, folks, I don't want to get legalistic about this because I'm not a legalist here. I'm not one to stand at the front, and I've been here for nearly 9 years now, so you know this, and tell you what to do and where to go and how to do it, all of that. You need to be free in the Lord Jesus Christ to discover what best pleases him for your life and go out and live it to the full. You need to do that. I need to do that. But we can pray without being close to God. But we cannot be close to God if we don't pray. We can come to church without being close to God, but we cannot be close to God if we don't come to church. We can read our Bibles without being close to God, but we cannot be close to God without reading our Bibles. And we can use our God-given gifts without being close to God, but we cannot be close to God without using our God-given gifts and talents. And it's worrying how many lose Christ where we might expect to find him the most. In the temple courts, among the fellowship of his own people. I'm not somebody, as you know, who is opposed to celebrating Christmas. I love Christmas. I enjoy trimming the tree with the grandchildren. I enjoy watching those old black and white sentimental films and crying the tears that they bring you to. Pulling the crackers, putting up the lights, and trying to be as generous with my giving as I possibly can. I honestly don't think there's anything wrong or sinful about celebrating the birth of Christ. I honestly do not. We don't read of the early church celebrating it. But listen, Holy Scripture records it. And I thank God for the opportunity each and every year to preach it and proclaim it. All I'm saying is that within the other things that we do, there is the worry that the one that we're here to celebrate gets missed. And more often than not, it doesn't get missed at the office party. It actually gets missed among church fellowship. So we need to be careful. We know who was worried. We know the how. We know the where. What about quickly the why? Remember, keep that in mind, don't you? The worry that we have as our thought to treasure this morning. I put that up and it just reminds me, you know, At the moment, the world is urging us to plant millions of trees to save the planet. And that's all well and good. But can I say this? Jesus came into this world to die on a tree to save our souls. And once you've found your salvation in Jesus Christ, I tell you this, you're going to be a much better steward of the planet that you live on. Amen? So why? Nearly through. Why do we lose our fellowship with him? Well, how did Mary and Joseph lose their fellowship with him? Well, look at what it says in verse 44. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. They didn't lose him by denying him, did they? They didn't lose him by disobeying him. They lost him, as we can so easily lose him in terms of our own fellowship with him, by simply assuming or presuming that he is with us when he's not. That's what they did, thinking he was with them. They traveled on. They'd have known for certain he wasn't. They'd have gone straight away back, wouldn't they? But they thought he was with them, presumed that he was with them, and he wasn't. And sometimes we can get to believing that the way we used to do it is the way that we've got to continue to do it. Where sometimes the Lord may be saying, your program needs changing. Your attitude needs sorting. Your faith needs a fresh testing, because we can just go through the routine of our religion and lose the joy of relationship and end up like Samson ended up when Delilah had given him a haircut that he'd never forget. That yes, I will just break free of these bonds as I've done before. But he couldn't do it. And we think if we just keep doing the same thing again and again and again, just because it's a good thing to do, doesn't necessarily mean that the Lord is in it, because our heart may not be as close to the Lord as we think it is. Folks, we have not just got to look back and thank God, we've got to press on and be expectant for what God is going to bring us to, isn't it? Because if we don't, gradually and slowly, we're going to fall out of fellowship. We'll end up doing things that ought to delight us simply because we feel it's our duty. Did you notice that? They went a day's journey. That's how falling away from Christ happens. And it doesn't happen, it's a day's journey. How do you get a day's journey away from Jerusalem? I'll tell you how you get one day away from Jerusalem, one step at a time. One step at a time leads you one day at a time away from the Lord. And one day at a time can lead you 1 week at a time away from the Lord. And a month and a year before you turn around, you think, wow, what happened to us, Lord? Do you remember I think it was Mozart, but you can Google it and correct me, I'm sure, if I'm wrong. If I go one day without practice, he said, then I know it. If I go 2 days without practice, then my friends know it. If I go 3 days without practice, then the whole world knows it. And I think, well, Sean, you didn't have to miss church much, do you? You didn't have to neglect prayer much. You didn't have to compromise biblical values that much until the world will know that you've lost fellowship with me. Let's not assume that the Lord is with us. Let's make sure that we know he's with us. Because to try and do anything of service to the Lord when we haven't got his presence and his power and his authority to do it is just going to drain us and leave us in a place where the only emotion that we've got left is worry and anxiety. Who wants to live like that? Hands up. No one does. And we don't need to. And here's the last thought before we sing our final song together. Because if I left without this, you might have a lot to worry about. And I don't want that. The last thing to think of is when. When did they find him again? Because they did, didn't they? Hallelujah! They found him again. Well, verse 45 says, when they did not find him initially, okay, because he was missing from them, the fellowship was gone, relationship was intact, the fellowship was gone, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. And you know what? Mary and Joseph found Jesus right where they had left him. Jesus didn't leave them They left Jesus. Reminds me of that old couple. You remember they were sitting on that garden swing. Any of you got a garden swing that goes like this? If you have, I'd love to use it. You got one of these? And the old fella and the old girl sitting there on this swing, and the wife turns to her husband. She said, you know, in the old days, she said, you used to sit close enough to me so we could hold hands. And the husband said, well, I never moved. And that's what the Lord says. You know, there was a time of more intimacy, more enjoyment, more joy, more fellowship. And the Lord says, look, I never left you. You left me. They found him right where he was left, there in the temple courts. I love the way the Authorized Version puts it. Going about his Father's business. Isn't that exactly where we find him? In the business of answering our prayers. In the business of rewarding our obedience, in the business of healing our hurts, in the business of comforting us in our worry and stress and loneliness. Folks, if you're out of fellowship this morning, I want you to know, you come back and like the prodigal father in the story Jesus told, God's got his arms wide open for you. He wants to embrace you. Because there's no one that misses close fellowship with God and you more than God. And if you've got children, you know that's true, don't you? You think your children love spending time with you, not half as much as you enjoy spending time with them. Hey? Even when the wallet has to come out. Let's be honest about it. It's a beautiful thing to do. Don't take worry away this Christmas. Open your Bibles again. Find the time to pray. Stop the toxic friendship that maybe threatens your walk with God. Be more encouraging of others and less critical. Show someone else the way to life in Jesus. Put simply in the old song, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. I want you to celebrate the Lord this Christmas. And if you don't know where you left him, and when you get home, turn up Psalm 139 and read the last couple of verses and just say with the psalmist, Lord, I don't know where we got off track, but you search me and you know my heart and you test me and you know my anxious thoughts, that time of year for worrying. See if there's anything in me, any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way that is everlasting. We have a God who's come to us in Christ. And I tell you, that ought to be the most wonderful time of the year, not a worrying time of the year. And I pray that you will know the closeness of fellowship with Jesus as you celebrate to his glory that simple truth, that this time of year is not for worrying. The worry is that in the middle of a festival to celebrate him, we can find ourselves missing him. And I don't want that to happen. Amen? Amen? Amen. Isn't God good? Amen. Hey, what's to worry about? Let's pray. Father, bless you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. And thank you that we can be quite secure in knowing that even if we've moved from you, there's a quick path back. And there's nothing to stop us coming other than ourselves. So Lord, give us again, we pray, that heart, that faith, that love to run back to you who stretched out your arms on the cross in the person of our Lord Jesus and embraced us with life and hope and healing and salvation so that we need never be lost from you forever. But in the meantime, Lord, keep us close so we can enjoy even this Christmas the Christ who is life to the very fullest of the life that he is in us, because we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.